The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Lord John Budden to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Thursday. Admittedly, not the strongest day's action that we're ever going to see, but I think that's to be expected at this time of the year. And hopefully we can bag you a winner or two anyway. We're also going to have a quick look ahead to the Grand National. Now, just a few days away, really looking forward to that. The action hotting up for that one. We've got a little bit of a price change, or at least from the last time that I spoke to someone about the National, so we'll have a look at that as well. Lord Budden, how are you?
I'm pretty well, actually, Alex. I had a winning nap on Tuesday, so that always makes me feel happy.
Absolutely. I went through a little run last week. I think I had sort of 5 from 6 winning naps. All pretty short prices, it must be said, around sort of even money, 6 to 4 mark. But then the last 3 days have tailed off somewhat. Yeah. But it's pretty tight, isn't it, as well, the naps table this year?
Yeah, I looked at it yesterday. Very tight indeed. Anyone in about the top 4 or 5 could win. Mm. I mean, the Wizard, for example, Darren Owen.
Oh, he's gone at the game, hasn't he?
Very depressed. He thinks he's gone at the game, but he's still only about 4 points adrift.
Mm. No, he's, I think, hitting a flat spot, I think it's fair to say, isn't he, to use a racing analogy.
Yes, he definitely hit a flat spot, but it's very easy to do.
Yes, yeah, that is true. As I said, we're going to look ahead to just a little look ahead to the Grand National. Nothing too in-depth. Of course, it comes up on the 5th of April. That is a week on Saturday. Of course, we're just a few days until the William Hill Lincoln. We'll be talking about that in the coming days. The prices, as things stand, T for 3, the 8-1 market leader. 14-1 for Long Run and Tidal Bay. 20s for Monbeg Dude, Pinot de Rey, Prance de Beauchene, Rocky Creek, Sunny Hill Boy and Triolo de Len. And then 25s for Balthazar King, Burton Port, Colbert Station, Godsme Judge and Shakalaka Boom Boom. 33s or bigger the rest. I still think that for all that I can't knock the claims of T for 3, don't you think that 8-1's a little bit short for a race like the Grand National, John?
I do actually now, Alex. I thought, double figures, that it was perfectly reasonable. I'm not absolutely certain if Rebecca Curtis has gone the right way. Now, that's, I'm not good enough to even consider trainers' actual programmes, but I have a feeling that T for 3 might have left his chances behind in the Gold Cup at Cheltenham.
I'd agree with you on that. I spoke about this with, I think it was Pimmers last week, and he was adamant that the horse shouldn't have run in the Gold Cup because he said it was never going to win the Gold Cup. For all it's a good horse, it was never going to have maybe the speed and the fact that it has had, admittedly, not the hardest race of its career, but still a hard enough race. I mean, the Gold Cup was run at a frenetic pace, and it's not like the horse was tailing off. It was still in, pitching, if you like, 3 out. So I think you can't aim for both. I think you've got to target one or the other and stick to that throughout the year.
Well, I agree with you entirely on that, Alex. The Gold Cup's always a gruelling race. And I thought this year's, as you pointed out, was run at a pretty fast pace. And they were all tired at the end. And the fact that T for 3 was still there about 3 fences out means that he certainly had a fairly hard race. But one mustn't, teach Rebecca Curtis to change her programme. She obviously knows the best. Personally, I thought T for Three had run an excellent trial in the race before the Gold Cup, and I would have left it for Aintree, and I agree with you, I think he's a bit short now at 8-1, and were it to get any shorter, I certainly wouldn't think of backing him, because you must always remember that last year looked like winning coming to the final fence, and then, well, basically died coming up the hill, and my sort of experience of horses who do that, you say, oh yes, he needed the experience, he'll improve next year. I'm not sure whether they will. That final sort of half mile, if they don't stay that trip really well, then there's a problem.
There's a few schools of thought with that. I mean, some people saying that he hit the last pretty hard and it maybe knocked the stuffing out of him. Quite a few people out in the office are pretty certain that the horse doesn't stay and are willing to be very much against him at 8-1. But just going back to what you were saying there about, you know, not telling Rebecca Curtis, you know, the fact is she knows the horse better than anyone, and she may have thought, you know what, he loves his racing, let's get another race into him, you know, let's really tune him up for this. I mean, all horses are different, aren't they? It's not a case of, I mean, some horses you'd give a prep run to them 60 days before a race. Some, well, you'd want to run in the week before the race, wouldn't you?
Oh, exactly, Alex. So, you know, that's why I must not teach Rebecca Curtis to suck eggs. She knows her horse, and she decided, obviously with connections, that the Gold Cup was a good preparation for Aintree, and she could well be proved correct.
Yes. Okay. So 8-1 for T for 3. 14-1 then. 14-1, I should say. Easy for me to say. 14-1 for Long Run. And also Tidal Bay. Two horses that hold no secrets, I think it's fair to say. Both interesting at the price, I think. Long Run has the profile of recent winners, if you like. Formerly very classy. And now with age, trying a slightly longer trip. Tidal Bay is my fancy for the race, I must confess. Has been for some time. I know he's got his critics, but I think as long as he gets round, I think he could just be there, you know, when it matters, if you like.
Well, we were talking about T for Three, whether he did in fact have the stamina for that final half mile, but absolutely no question that your choice, Tidal Bay, although getting a bit long in the fang, has retained virtually all his old ability, and he will stay up the hill at the end. My only reservation about Tidal Bay, Alex, and you come back on this, is that I have a feeling, provided Aintree don't go and throw water on the track, that it could be what we call definitely good jumping ground, and were it to be a sort of a bright windy day on Saturday week, it might be just a little bit quicker. Will Tidal Bay cope with that kind of surface?
Will he cope? Yes. Will it suit? No. You know, which I appreciate is a very valid point, because I think to win the Grand National you need to have everything in your favour. You can't have little will he, won't he? It has to be yes. You know that all of those will happen. But what I would say is, in terms of my thinking for the race for some time, I like Monbeg Dude, and I think Monbeg Dude needs soft ground. I think Tidal Bay prefers it, but doesn't necessarily need it. That would be my school of thought for that. But I completely see where you're coming from, and that would be a concern for me, yeah.
Yes, well, bearing in mind that it might turn out to be good jumping ground a bit quicker, I say pile on Long Run.
Okay.
I really do think at 14-1, and of course he has been longer and certain shrewdies have got a longer price, but he is basically, Alex, the class horse in the race. Now, I know he hasn't yet jumped round the fences, and that has to be, you know, possibly a serious fault in my suggestion that he'll go well. But I think at 14-1, it's worthwhile taking a risk with Long Run. I'm quite certain that both the owner's connections and certainly the trainers, Nicky Henderson, you know, regard this as a great opportunity to win one of the biggest prizes of the season, if not the biggest prize of the season. My mind about prize money, not particularly good. But I think Long Run is relatively fresh. He had a good prep run, you see, it at Kelso. He's taking on Nakarabo, grand old horse, but Nakarabo loves Kelso. Mm. So he was bound to go well, and Long Run was able to follow him around at the Borders course, and then he showed really quite a nice turn of foot over the last sort of two fences to actually beat Nakarabo very comfortably indeed in the end, certainly cosily. Now, no one could say that was too hard a race. It just kept him going nicely. And we know he's a class horse because of what he's done in the past. It is conceivable that he's gone. I don't think he has, myself. So, you know, I would be of the shorter priced. I will be on Long Run at 14 to 1.
Okay. I will throw something in against that, John.
Yes.
I'll say that I'm fairly confident that Long Run won't get round. I don't think he's jumping. I know that the fences are easier to jump now, but I just think he'll make one mistake too many. I mean, as we've seen, even in his Gold Cup wins, in his Gold Cup win, I should say, he did clout a few, didn't he? Or he wasn't foot perfect, shall we say.
Yeah, I would just recount of that on the grounds that I think, you know, as he's grown older and he's taking on perhaps less classy contests, which are not run at quite such a great speed, his jumping has become safer. And I must remember that Whaley Cohen is actually a very decent rider around Aintree. He has quite a lot of experience around Aintree, and he's done well there.
Yeah. This is the great thing about the National, isn't it? Everyone can have their own view, and you can pick holes in different ones and whatever. But at the end of the day, it a lot of it comes down to luck first and foremost. And you know, well, let's look at the bottom of the market, shall we? Merlin's Wish and Sergeant Pink, 100 to 1 each. Shall we just side with them instead, John?
Sergeant Pink is, of course, a very important runner for me, but I can't believe he's going to get in.
No, I don't think he will.
He's the only Cumbrian-trained horse in the entries. Diane Sayers' horse, no.
maybe not.
I do think that there are... you know, I do think Mr. Moonshine won't be disgraced.
Yeah,
for example,
that's a horse I was actually going to throw at you there. Mr. Moonshine's 50 to 1.
Yes,
And I think that's connections that obviously won the race last year with Aurora's Encore. Is a horse that we know can jump. Really, it won at Warwick, didn't it, Mr. Moonshine, not so long ago, in really gritty style.
Well, I thought I watched him 3 times now in a row. I couldn't believe it, how well he ran at Musselburgh 3 outings ago, where he won there on soft ground, which I found astonishing. He then, as you say, won really well at Warwick, and got beat at Kelso last time out, but wasn't disgraced. And remember, he was probably an unlucky loser of the Beecher Chase back in November. So, I mean, the stats would say it's ridiculous to think that the same connections can score with a sort of 66 to 1 and a 50 to 1 in successive years. But he's not without a chance, Mr. Moonshine. And were the ground to go relatively quick, it would suit him. I don't know if they really intend to run Balthazar King.
Balthazar King, 25 to 1. I don't know, to be honest. I think it would be an interesting contender. What I would say is I think the horse is quite small, isn't he?
He is,
I just
yes.
think, for all that he gets around the cross-country fences, okay, there's only a few that are the size of...
I agree with you, Alex.
And for all that, if he can get into a rhythm as he does with his cross-country, he could be hard to peg back and he stays all day. I just think, in terms of just size and scope, may just be lacking there, but... I mean, it's an absolutely fascinating race. I know that we'll touch on it more next week and obviously in the build-up. But for now, I'll pitch in with Tidal Bay and we'll take Long Run and Mr. Moonshine for John. 14 to 1 for Tidal Bay Long Run, 50 to 1 for Mr. Moonshine. Certainly promises to be a cracker, but we'll touch on that later. And for now, we'll look ahead to 3 contests on Thursday. No horses here that'll be running the National, I'm afraid. We'll start at Suddle with the 305. It is a handicap over 5 furlongs. 8 runners down to go to post for this Class 5 contest. Hopefully all 8 stay in, because this has a reasonably open look to it, John, and it may be that we're able to sneak a bit of each way value here.
Yes, that is possibly the case, because, as you say, there are 8 runners, and it's difficult to actually cross out more than 2 or 3. Possible crossouts. Well, Keep It Dark is a bit of an unknown quantity in the race. Tony Coyle trains, a very shrewd young trainer, Tony Coyle, and I like Barry McHugh as a jockey, but hasn't been out for quite a while. And we last saw on the turf at Nottingham, so I would actually cross out that one. Dangerous, perhaps. Alpha Tori is in the race as well. Almost certainly set a strong pace. There are a number of horses who like to go from the front in this contest. I don't like the one right at the bottom, Warbell. He's a horse who's cost me a bit. What do you think about Pull the Pin?
Connections are always hard to get right, aren't they? Anne Stokel trains Paul Mulrennan rides, which is a pretty eye-catching jockey booking, but of course owned by Mr. Stephen Arnold. And I often find with his horses, when they're going to win, they are gambled on, and they are gambled on to the point where it isn't worth backing them because they're not certs still, you know. Just because they've been backed doesn't make them bankers, whereas with some connections, you know, say the Barney Curley sort of coup, if you like, of a couple of months ago, you knew that they were going to win by the end, you know, that the third and fourth legs, you were almost certain. And yes, they were ridiculously short prices, but with these, I mean, they get gambled on so regularly that it's hard to know if it's real or not. And if we can keep the eight runners in this, let's say that one of these horses does get backed, either Warble or Pull the Pin, I think that opens it up brilliantly for each way punters to take one of the more consistent horses that you know is going to run its race.
Yes, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Dancing Freddy, of course, for Connections, was an expensive loser at Southall on Tuesday afternoon. I think Anne Stokel and Stephen Arnold would very much like a winner. And it is slightly interesting that Pull the Pin is being ridden by Paul Mulrennan, who is working back to full fitness. He's beginning to ride really well.
Great jockey.
You know, he is a great jockey, and the horses are beginning to respond, and he's had a couple of winners in the last 10 days. So, although well beat on both the last two occasions, I wouldn't entirely discount Pull the Pin.
Okay.
I think Prince of Passion's got to improve a bit on previous ridings to score. So, by process of elimination, we come down to two, in my view, Alex, and one of them is very dangerous floater, Shaw Can Tango. Never can dismiss Shaw Can Tango because he's a very consistent horse. He doesn't actually win very often, but he's a closer, and he likes to come very late, and he's run well here before, and I think there's going to be a strong pace on. So you would have to say that Shaw Can Tango's got a chance. My selection, though, is the top one, Beacon Tarn.
Okay.
I think Eric Alston, you know, has got this horse more or less prepared now to win. I like the booking, of course, of Jason Hart. He hasn't ridden much, has he, Jason Hart, over the winter?
Mm.
If at all. I suspect he's been away abroad, but he rode for Eric Alston throughout last year. Quietly improving, this horse was, you know, well beat behind Sleepy Blue Ocean two outings ago, but a better run last time out when third at Southall behind Rambo Will. I think he is the sort of horse who has just got a touch of class for this contest, so I'll go with the top one, Beacon Tarn.
Okay, Eric Alston's filly there, Beacon Tarn, in the 3.05. Next up is the 3.40, handicap over 1 mile and 3 furlongs, a class 4 contest. We've only got the 5 runners, don't go to post for this one, and I would wager that we'll end up with 4 as well, because Return to Breckengill ran yesterday at Southall. Maybe that one's turned out again pretty quickly, but didn't run as though he was particularly enjoying himself yesterday, and was beaten 36 lengths in the end by our kid. I mean, I know that it was stepped up in trip there, but it ran as though it wouldn't have won over any trip, to be honest. So, I mean, that's one that you keep an eye on if it is in the field, but hard to tip. We're left with the Lockmaster, Anton Chigger, Thatchmaster, First Warning. Obviously, Return to Breckengill still in there at the minute. Which one do you like?
Well, I must just go back for a moment over Return to Breckengill. I was convinced the horse would run well yesterday.
Well, if you hadn't already noticed, John, it was carrying some of my money yesterday.
Oh, was it? Was as yours? I was absolutely convinced. I was obsessed with it. So much so that, you know, I completely ignored our kid. One or two emails disgusted. So was Richie McGrath at my side. Couldn't understand why I hadn't given our kid a really sound chance. And of course, punters at Southall backed our kid off the balls, and I'd never seen a horse win easier this winter. Absolutely thrashed the field. Return to Breckengill was disappointing. On the other hand, I thought that Graham Lee looked after him once he realised there was absolutely no chance of getting into the frame. Wouldn't surprise me to see him back here again.
Okay.
So, there we are. What do you think about Anton Chigger?
Well, you've got Cameron Hardy riding Anton Chigger here. Now, a horse that used to be with Tom Dascombe, sent to Brendan Powell, and has had 3 runs over hurdles, and they've been creditable enough runs. I personally don't like, I mean, Cameron Hardy, not that I don't like him at all, that's not what I was about to say there. Young, inexperienced jockey, I'd rather wait until he's riding a few winners before I could confidently back one of his horses, especially in a race where there aren't going to be many runners and he's up against the likes of Tom Queeley, who's on the likely favourite, the Lockmaster. I think he could possibly just be tactically out-battled. But that's not to say Cameron Hardy's not a good jockey. I have seen him, and he's got a nice enough style. But Anton Chigurh, as a horse as well, I suppose, has got a little bit to prove
back on the flat
for a new trainer.
I agree with you entirely, Alex. I'm certainly about the horse. So that crosses out two. And it leaves us with Thatchmaster and the Lockmaster. Now, Thatchmaster is a horse who interests me a bit, but Mark Johnston's runners on the Fibre Sand at Southall earlier in the week on Tuesday, well, there were two really strongly fancied horses, ran extremely poorly, modestly anyhow. Thatchmaster is one of those horses who tends to win, then not win. He won last time out on the Poly Track at Wolverhampton. I was with him the time before when he ran at Southall, and he didn't really seem to like the Fibre Sand. So I think this is a very good race for the Lockmaster to complete his hat trick. He's a really genuine sort, the Lockmaster. Been about, of course, for quite a long while now. But on the all weather, Poly Track, or particularly Fibre Sand, you know, he loves it. He's a really genuine sort, and I thought he's got two good rock-solid form races behind him. He beat my Nap at the time at Wolverhampton last time, Mika Mika, running on really strongly in the closing stages, and then previously here at Southall, he won a good race from Frontier Fighter, who's quite a benchmark. So I will go for solidly for the Lockmaster.
Okay, then. We will look at the final race then, the 4:20 at Wolverhampton. We'll move to Wolverhampton for this one. As I said, coming up at 4:20, the trip just shy of 6 furlongs for this one. 7 runners down to go to post. It's a Class 3 contest. And it is a nice race, this, John. Personally, I can only rule one or two of these out. Does have an open look to it. And there's some potentially smart three-year-olds in here.
Yes, it's a decent competitive Class 3, isn't it? And as you say, virtually the whole field have got fair chances of being involved in the mix. There are two captains in the race. Of the two, I prefer Captain Secret to Captain Midnight. I think the betting will also tend to agree with that particular line of reasoning. Captain Secret represents a very powerful combination, doesn't he, of Marco Botti and Adam Kirby. And has been a winner twice at Southall recently, very easily in a four-runner race most recently, and before that quite a good winner from Little Big Man, who at the time was running pretty well. I don't think they were great races. Has no experience at Wolverhampton, but has won both at Doncaster and Kempton, and if you win at Kempton, you're probably going to act quite well on the Poly Track at Wolverhampton. I think he's a player. Do you think he needs to raise the game?
Not as such. I think it's a she as well, John. I think it's hard to tell whether her improvement of late has come about because of the switch to Southall, or if the penny's just dropped. Obviously, won her last two at Southall, the last one very, very easily. So it is hard to tell whether or not she's a Southall specialist. She's been given a break since then, so she's got enough to, if you are willing to oppose her, there's enough in your favour here, if you like. But at the same time, this could be a Botti horse that you see absolutely flying up the handicap in weeks to come. Personally, I'm struggling to see anything that could beat it, though. I think there's some nice types, but I don't know if there's anything quite good enough. What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree with that. I'm very bad at telling the difference between the sexes. I apologise
for
calling her not what she is, a filly. I can't help thinking that Marco Botti, who is an eminently shrewd thinker of the game, would not have put Captain Secret into this race at Wolverhampton, a Class 3 race with quite a tidy prize to win, if he didn't think that she would act well at Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton. I think she's got the upwardly mobile profile. The one who really worries me is David Barron's horse in this race, Ribbleton.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a follower of David Barron on the all-weather just before the turf season starts.
Because this horse as well, ex-Richard Fahey, having his first run for David Barron today. Fahey to Barron, not a bad move, I suppose. Not many horses will improve, though, for leaving Richard Fahey.
No, not many will, that's true. But there are quite a number of them will be very shrewdly placed. Mm. And it's possible that Ribbleton, although he won't improve physically, because Richard Fahey has got such a large stable, it must be very difficult for him to actually choose the particular contest which would suit everyone in his stable, whereas David Barron, with a slightly smaller troops, will be able to make their choice. I thought Ribbleton won well at Pontefract on the turf last autumn. I think he's got a chance. If he was seriously backed, I would be worried. I'm not that worried about Outbacker. Has run twice and won once at Lingfield. But we noted off air, didn't we, that even when he did win at Lingfield, he hung rather badly. Mm. And that was two outings ago, beaten last time out. I think it's worthwhile taking a risk with Marco Botti, Adam Kirby and Captain Secret.
Okay, Captain Secret, the pick in the 4:20. Brilliant stuff, John. Can you just quickly spin us through your three picks, the two at Suddle and the one at Wolverhampton on Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, we're off in the 3:05 at Southall, and that is Eric Alston's Beacon Tarn. Then in the 3:40, the genuine, the Lockmaster. I take that as the banker of the three, really. And Captain Secret, I hope, will act in the 4:20 at Wolverhampton.
Okay, thank you very much for your time, John. Best of luck with those selections, and enjoy the action on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.